Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn, what they on? All steroids and no carbs. This is a thick ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
I don't know.
What's going on?
National Register to Vote Day.
What are you guys doing?
I know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, do that.
Yeah.
Vote. Shocking the number of people that don't vote.
Well, I can't vote.
You can't.
But I can register to vote.
Oh, yeah, you can register to vote. I was going to say, what are you, like a felon? Or are you just, you know, like a derelict?
Not as far as you know. I'm registered to vote, dude.
Yes,
I'm
vote.
Ready. I'm ready to go.
Vote.
Well, when they have the ballots, I will.
For the love of God,
I'm going to vote for Trump.
Vote.
I love that guy.
Just vote.
How can you not love him?
I have concepts of a plan.
You know,
just vote. However you want to vote, just vote. It's shocking the number. Like I said, that like it would always like half the country doesn't vote.
I don't know about that.
I think that's accurate. I want to say one of our last two elections got the most voter turnout ever, and it was like 60%. Yeah.
Well, I know that it's. I saw something today that said that there are 244 million U.S. Americans.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Americans and such, and the Iraqs.
That that could vote.
Mm-hmm.
I think that are eligible to vote. And we got, what did we get? Like 150 million votes last time?
Something like that. And it was the most ever.
So that's about right. Those numbers.
We're 31st in the developed world of people that can actually vote. Now,
meaning
percentage-wise?
Yeah, percentage-wise. We're 34.
So we don't care about democracy that much.
Yeah. We can always do like the, I love when they ever do like when Putin wins again and he wins like 98% of the vote. And then there's like some old grandma and there's a dude with like a machine gun behind her. And she's like, oh. I always enjoy that they don't give him 100% though. Because like the North Koreans, he wins 100%, but Putin's like, 98. There were some people, and hey.
To make it look real.
Everyone's free to their own opinion. Yeah, it's like when you go to a scramble golf tournament and you know, one team, you know, they're like, I'm 21 under par, as opposed to the ones like, yeah, 26. Like if you're going to cheat, make it somewhat believable cheating. Come on. 98%. That's believable. I'd like to meet the 2% of Russians that didn't vote for him.
Well, they're dead now.
They all fell out of windows.
Yeah, that's right. They need the window daddy.
Yeah, that's right. They need the expert window installation from Window Nation.
Yeah,
it's your window daddy.
In 2020, we had over 60%, and that was the highest turnout since 92. So, hey, we're getting better.
So,
and I'll bet you this one, I would hope that we have a very high number.
So of the 40%,
mm-hmm.
What do you think? I mean, is that mostly people that are just like, I can't stand any? It's like a two-party system, so they're just like, ah, I don't know.
Well, and just some people
or
are, just
are
so
they just
tuned out. It's just,
well, whatever. There's that. But are they, I mean, should I judge these people? I probably should.
Well, you probably got a couple things. One, the stupid electoral college. So there's probably people in states that it doesn't matter. I mean, in all honesty, if you're voting in Oregon,
like 45 of the states don't matter.
Yeah, that's the stupid part.
Yeah,
it's really dumb.
There's six. Like, if you live in six states, like, holy God,
holy God,
show up.
And it might come down to one state. Yeah. It might just come down to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but it's just it is kind of creepy the way we do it in that, you know, for the most part, if you live in one of the, I don't know, like you said, 40-plus states, it's like, eh, you know which way it's going to go. I still think it's important. It just...
Yeah, that's probably some of it.
It's like, if you're going to sit there and you're going to have some skin in the game and talk about how you want your life to go, you want your country to go, you want your city, your state to go, but you cast no vote... I don't know. Then I guess then you just shut up then and take what comes your way.
I agree with that.
How about that?
I just saw that today, that it was like the National Register to Vote today. And I'm one of those that's like, hey, vote whichever way you want to vote. And if the majority of people want to go one way, you know, and I'm not with that, well, then, yeah, majority rules. I guess in this case, it really doesn't.
It's and that's the problem. I get why the Electoral College made sense at the outset, but now that we have the technology, I don't understand the rationale for not going to popular vote.
Because if that happened, one side would never win. So it's one of those things that I'm a firm believer in. I try to talk to my kids about this a bunch, because my son's a little like that. My son's a little tuned out, and I try to tell him, man, you got to participate in it. You start early and participate. It should be a thing that when you turn a certain age and you're able to do it, I don't know, I think that's something that you should look forward to actually have a say, no matter how small. And look, most of the time it's the local elections that actually impact your day-to-day life more than the big stuff. But you should be an active participant in that. So anyway,
yeah, all right.
That's my thing. National Vote Register to Vote Day.
Uneducated beer, man!
Vote.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that.
There you
Screw
go.
The learned people! No!
I'm not going to vote.
You
son Matter of fact, I just changed my vote. I'm voting for Kamala now.
You're voting to... Oh, I thought you were going to change your vote to not vote.
Well, I might do that too.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know. I got a couple months.
You got a lot to think about. A lot to handle.
I'm weighing my options.
There you go.
I may vote for me.
I'm voting for punts.
Punts?
Punts!
Oh,
punts, baby, punts.
Iowa football.
Yeah, I got my punt shirt on today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Voting in Iowa. I'm going to move to Iowa where we celebrate the punt.
What is harder to watch? Iowa football.
Mm-hmm. That Monday night game was hard to watch.
Blazers basketball.
There you go.
Mariners baseball. Or bad NFL quarterback play.
Oh, I think it's Blazer basketball. I think I went to like 4 games last year. And
did you fall asleep?
The amount of time that I spent in my seat watching said game, if we're going by percentages, 15%.
Yeah, but let's be fair here.
Yeah.
I think that even when they were good and you were going to games, that was the same number.
Nah.
It's true.
Nah.
You like to go to the bar.
Nah, we're
like,
paying,
you don't care.
Nah, we're paying attention.
Dude, no,
Blazer basketball
not.
Is a hard watch right now.
I have
kind of enjoyed... I enjoy watching bad football now. I don't know why, but I kind of laugh. Like, when... It's one thing if you're watching... It's like watching bad movies. I love a bad B movie, right? And here's the difference. Like, if you're watching... I'm trying to think of a movie that came out. I mentioned that stupid Civil War movie that came out last year. That was one of the worst movies I've seen in years. It's just an absolute pile of crap. But it was meant to be good, right? I can't watch that. Like, someone was like, this is going to be a real edgy movie, and it's going to be an indictment on our society right now. No. It was an absolute pile of crap. Just an absolute waste of my time and money. Now, when I watch Velocipastor about a religious man who turns into a dinosaur at night and avenges poor people, now we're talking.
And you consider this a B movie?
Well, B movie, C movie, you know.
Maybe move it down a couple grades.
Yeah, when I'm watching like you know Nazi zombie hookers of the SS, like when you're watching something like that, you're like, okay. Now we're just buckle up. I know what I'm getting. That's great. So if I'm watching a game that's just, I don't know, like poor execution, and it's just, you know, it's kind of back and forth. Like last night's game was just kind of a boring game to watch. But you give me Iowa football where I've got like 14 straight punts. Now I can really sink my teeth into that.
Maybe it's time to grab a hold of your little step ladders and go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
I need it to be so bad that it becomes good. And last night, It didn't happen. That game
so
was
so you're saying Iowa football is that?
Yes.
And the Mariners and Blazers aren't?
Nah, because they're trying. Iowa football has accepted what they are. It's like, hey man, we're playing 3 yards in a cloud of dust and we're punting.
That's
and
fair.
And I can embrace it. The Blazers try to sell me on the fact that they're good. They're putting out a product that they tell me is good. Hey, spend quality money, go see this movie, and then I show up and it's Sharknado. And I don't like dishonesty.
Yeah, but they're not.
Tell me what it is.
Come on. Our eyes are open. Who's buying that? I mean, everybody knows they suck.
Yeah.
I was looking at the list of the top 75 NBA basketball players today.
Yeah.
As ranked by, I don't know, someone.
Someone. I'm guessing we don't have anyone.
The Blazers did not have one player in the top 75.
No, why would they? I mean,
well, Jeremy Grant's pretty good.
He's not a top 75 guy. Even if he asked,
I kind of would have thought he would be.
Yeah. That's where you thought wrong. See, you're still thinking, oh, they should be good. No. Roll it out there. And this year, I hope they go full Iowa football. Punt on the whole damn thing. Give me capture the flag. Let's go. And I'll embrace
it. But NFL quarterbacks, like bad NFL quarterbacks, that's pretty fun to watch.
Sometimes.
It can be fun.
Yeah. But college is even better because at least bad NFL football is still like professional football. As someone pointed out here, try watching UCLA. Mm. Now we're talking.
I've done it both games.
Oh,
they
you
are
have?
Bad.
Yeah. Why are you watching them?
I bet on them. I bet against them twice. And you know what?
Both nice
of those
catch.
Cashed.
I bet you bet it. I bet you bet on them.
No, I bet against them twice. I got Hawaii plus like 13. Yeah. They won by 3. Yeah. And then the Google me bitch, Kurt Cignetti. I was riding that train, and sure enough.
Oh, Indiana.
Wait, UCLA's 1-1.
Yeah, they're 1-1. They had a bye in between.
Yeah, they eked out Hawaii.
And then they smashed by into Indiana.
Indiana just curb stomped them. Oregon, because they got a bye. I think UCLA is on the road against LSU.
That's right.
And then Oregon's got the bye, and then I think it's actually down in UCLA. They're going.
That's
down
right. It's at the Rose Bowl.
Okay, so let's play the fun game.
There will be
of,
tens of people there.
Exactly. Over under 10,000 people in that stadium that are UCLA fans.
That are UCLA under.
Taking the under. They may lose these next 2 weeks. I'm going to go combined. The over under of those combined scores should be 85 to 17. That's what those will be the combined scores of UCLA and
you're
LSU.
You're giving them 17 points?
I'm giving them 17 points.
I was thinking combined margin, and would it be 70? Like, would they lose by 35 a game?
I'll take the over. Combined margin, LSU and Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over 70.
Yeah, they'll lose by 70.
You think they'll lose by more than 70 combined?
35 a pop? Yeah, they'll lose by 30.
Yeah.
Indiana got them by 35.
Hell, one team might beat them by 70.
Yeah. The thing is, though those teams could. I'm just wondering. Will they? This is a score as many points as you feel like it for the opposing offense.
Yeah. How often do you want to take your foot off the gas and when?
Yeah.
And even so, you'll put in the backups and it won't matter.
You know what? Everybody who is fighting for an at-large playoff bid, like if LSU doesn't think they're going to win the SEC,
hammer people.
They are going to hammer people. Everybody you can. I mean, Ole Miss is already trying to do that.
Hey, but it's important to know, guys, UCLA. In Los Angeles.
They are in Los Angeles. So is USC.
You know what else it is, that game?
What?
Maybe a little added extra incentive.
What do we got?
The Dante Moore revenge game.
Oh! So when they do call off the dogs, Dante is going to have a little something-something for him.
Give Dante the whole fourth quarter to carve him up.
That's right.
Bad college football is hilarious. It's great to watch.
I'm going to that league.
Especially when it's teams that you'd like. I don't feel bad for UCLA. UCLA hasn't given two S about football in like 20 years, but then they pretend to care and they still end up in the Big Ten. So, dude, if UCLA gets, if they get beat by 70 by LSU, I will be over here cackling. The only one I'll kind of feel bad about is Deshaun Foster, who shouldn't have that job in the first place, but they were like, look, we can't pay anyone. And I don't know, you're here, you played here, you want the job. And he was like, sure.
Chip Kelly was a good hire.
Kinda. Yeah.
No, I think it was a good hire.
It's okay.
It was a good hire.
I just like to believe the Deshaun Foster hire was kind of like when they hired Lou in Major League. Hey, Deshaun, you want to coach the Bruins? Oh, I don't know. Got a guy on the other line about some white walls. Let me think about it. Call you back. He doesn't want that job. He knows what's happening there. But they paid him a couple $1 million and it'll be guaranteed. And he's like, fine.
I'd take it.
Exactly. Like, it's like when Tom Sula got hired by the Niners. He knew what was happening, and he's like, what? I get, like, what, $12 million guaranteed? Yeah. All right. Like, you feel bad for Billy Napier all you want. That guy's about to get a check for $27 million to not do anything.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
Life's good.
All right, well, big show. Big show.
Really,
you guys
big show.
Ready for a big show out here in Sportsland.
And we got Diddy is in jail and isn't getting released.
You know, I was going to open with that, but
denied.
I forgot.
It's good club fodder.
Did you hear the judge?
It is good club fodder. No, but I saw that he will not be out on bail.
Yeah,
the judge was confiscated.
Yeah, the judge dropped this one on him, and I'm getting the quote.
Tell me he dropped one of his lyrics.
No, but it would have been great. The judge looked at him and said, "Your lawyers ask me to trust you. I can't trust you, and they can't control you. Therefore, bail denied." I'm like, hell yeah.
Okay.
The judge came out throwing heat. I can't trust you. They can't control you.
I love a sassy judge.
Yeah, in prison.
He's right. Or she? He?
I saw the quote. I did not see. Oh. I don't know if there was a camera in the courtroom. I just saw the quote. It could be a sassy guy, Judge. I don't know. It's 2024, man.
LSU only favored by 24.5 on UCLA. Hammer the Tigers?
Hammer the Tigers. Hammer them. Why is that spread only 24?
I don't know.
They know something that we don't? Because I don't think so.
All right, let's get our poll question in, and that will kick off our Football Tuesday on The Fan. All right. It's time for our daily poll question. It is on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we asked you, is Oregon football back? Jace, 49% said not yet.
That would be me.
How about that?
More work to be done.
Half of the audience, or generally. Well, not even half of the audience. Half of the people who voted.
There you go. You got to prove it against the mighty UCLA Bruins. Then we'll say that you're back.
32% said damn right, and 19% said never went anywhere.
Yeah.
Today, we're asking you, one of these guys is your head coach moving forward. Who do you choose? Is it?
John.
Not John. Steve Sarkisian. Is it?
John.
Not John. Lane Kiffin. Is it?
John.
Not John. Dan Lanning. Is it?
John.
Not John. Lincoln Riley.
That's a good question.
Vote.
Is John available?
And vote hard.
John L. Smith, maybe?
Who's the best John that's a head coach?
Currently, I was going to say John Wooden probably has something to say about that.
No, no.
If it weren't for the first 2 weeks of this season, John Harbaugh, perhaps.
John Harbaugh.
I had a thought today. Are you ready for my thought?
Yeah, what's
random
your
sports thought?
Yeah, what do you got?
Jim Harbaugh's going to win a Super Bowl, but not until John Harbaugh is on his staff.
No. So eventually they fire him, and then he goes and becomes the special teams coordinator with the Chargers. And there you go.
Or like, I don't know, defensive coordinator. I don't know.
Yeah. I like it. It's a bold statement.
I mean, he's worked all.
Yeah, he probably has.
John's worked offense, defense, and special teams.
He was just the special teams guy when he got hired.
The Harbaugh brothers will win a Super Bowl together.
Boy, wouldn't that be something?
With the Chargers.
I believe that. I could see that.
Yeah. That's my hot take.
Well, I mean, Harbaugh was on the sidelines for the national title game. Remember, he came down there?
He was just hanging out.
Yeah, he's like, hey, don't be. He was like Marshawn Lynch rubbing Mike McDonald's shoulders. He's down there giving him a relax. That's a good question. I don't know where I'd go with that.
Well, we've got a blowout so far.
Well, shocker. Honestly, I don't know how you could pick, and I know where the blowout's going. I don't know how you could pick that. He's won. I mean, it's such a weird question because he's only been here, you know, a couple years, but he's won nothing.
Are you talking about John Lanning?
I'm talking about John Lanning.
64% say John Lanning.
Of course.
15% Lane Kiffin.
Outside of just the idea of you like him, and I do too.
I mean, what a blowout.
He's not done anything. I mean, literally nothing, other than he can recruit. But all those guys can recruit.
Yeah, but they don't care about that. It just says one of these guys is your head coach. Who do you want?
Yeah, I mean,
they like Lanning.
I guess you're just betting on the future. I think I'd have to take Sark, and that's a little like
wow, really?
Yeah.
When the Oregon job opened, I wanted it to be Lane.
Yeah,
that's who I
like Lane Kiffin a lot.
I do too. And by the way, you know, Lincoln Riley. Last time I checked, Lincoln Riley's a really good coach that people are. kind of sleeping
Lincoln
on.
Lincoln Riley suddenly underrated.
Yes, Lincoln Riley's underrated. And look at USC now that suddenly has a defense. And I mean, it's just so loaded because Lanning's only, he's a baby in this whole thing. Whereas Lane and Sark and Lincoln have been around for a while, but they're so much more accomplished and they've proven that they can do this over a long period of time at a high level. Lane has never done it at the level that Sark has. I mean, Sark's been a solid coach a couple different places. You know, obviously, he had his problems. But last year, he had the breakthrough in the college football playoff at Texas. This year, he appears to have him rolling to the number one team in the country. Texas is recruiting like a mother bear. I guess it'd be hard for me not to say Sark, simply based on... the proof's in the pudding. But I get where people are going to project and say, look, if we kick this thing out 5 years, we go with Dan Lanning. But I do think it's kind of spotty because we've seen this all the time. I mean, even Mike Norvell, right? Like Norvell builds a pretty good program down at Florida State, and people say give him time, and then he has the breakthrough year last year, goes undefeated, and now this year Florida State's awful. You know, Charlie Weiss got a lifetime contract at Notre Dame, and that absolutely went south. So it's just like these projections are so hard. And so we see Dan Lanning in year three that's supposed to be this big breakout year, and let's be honest, in three games, two of them, they look dreadful. And then they come out against Oregon State, and they look great, and now we're like, oh, they're back. Well, I would like kind of like to see them play out, and I'd like to see him win a conference. And before I can say that he's a proven commodity, because all three of those other coaches are a proven commodity, and Dan Lanning is not. But to be fair to Dan, he hasn't had a chance to be a proven commodity because he's only been doing it for 2 years.
But those 2 years, he's been pretty damn good. He's won a lot of games.
He's been solid.
Well, I mean, he's like 20. Let's see. They went
with zero conference titles.
But they went 10-2.
Yeah.
Did he go 10-2 twice?
They're 10-2 or 9-3.
I think maybe 9-3.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
So you know,
I mean, that's pretty good because if you look at Sark, you realize he's only won 10 games one time,
right?
Yeah. Last year. That's it.
Yeah, he was old 7-win Steve.
His best record outside of that was 9-4.
Yeah.
And a Holiday Bowl win at USC in 2014.
Yeah.
Now Lane, he went 11-2 last year.
Yep. Yeah. Like I said, kind of. And then Lincoln obviously has plenty of 10-win seasons.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley is the most accomplished.
Yeah. And yet we're all pooing all over Lincoln
Riley. He might
Riley.
Be the answer.
You're not wrong.
He's bringing up the rear, though.
Yeah. And I do like, and again, you know me, I love that all those guys can build offenses.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley, 12-2, 12-2, 12-2, 9-2, 10-2, 11-3, 8-5.
And we're like, bum.
Loser.
Bum. Been to the college football playoff, what, two, three times? I know he's been at least twice, if not three times. Loser. Lose. Bum. Yeah, and last
three,
time.
Wait, four, five, what?
What? How many times?
Oh, well. I'd have to go to another standby.
All right. Well, for that. He's been to the college football playoff multiple times. And last time I checked, let's see here, won two Heisman trophies. Actually, three. Caleb Williams, right? So he's responsible for Murray's, Mayfield's, and Caleb Williams. So that's three Heisman trophies. You know what? I'm going to redo my answer. I just talked myself into Lincoln Riley.
All right.
There you go.
There you go.
Re-talked myself into Lincoln.
There you go. John Riley.
John Riley.
John.
Yeah.
John C. Riley?
Love me some John C. Riley. Now check back in two or three years and Dan Lanning may be the right answer. I don't like giving people status before they've earned it. And we do that in coaching all the time based on he's kind of the flavor of the month and people are excited about him. And I totally get why. Now, if you ask me which one of those I want to sit down and have a beer with, the answer is Dan Lanning. And I think Dan Lanning is going to do really, really good things at Oregon. But
that's
again,
a little unfair, though.
Why is that?
Well, Sark's on the wagon.
Oh, yeah.
He won't have a beer with you.
That's true.
Probably would have been fun to have a beer with back
in the day. Yeah, back in the day.
Maybe know, some
other things, too.
But he's get out sober.
Get out on that Sark boat.
Kiffin would be fun to have a beer with, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually think, you know, that's a good question. I think Kiffin might even be a more fun hang than Dan Lanning.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah. But I think they're all very personable guys. And, you know, Lanning's got the program on a really, really nice trajectory. And I think that he's going to do really good things at Oregon.
You ever see a cheetah stretch?
But we said the same thing about Mario Cristobal. And Mario did do some good things at Oregon. And yet when he left, everyone was like, oh, thank God that he's gone. We do this all the time with coaches. And
all right.
Prove it.
It's on X at 1080 The Fan. Vote hard. The Falcons, my dirty birds. pull one out.
Wasn't pretty.
That was a fun game, though. You said you didn't like the game. I liked that game.
Did you?
Well, yeah.
I liked the end of it.
It was full of drama.
The beginning and the middle part? Come on.
Well, but I mean, that's the NFL.
I'm sorry. If Saquon Barkley catches that pass, that game...
Well, yeah. Of course.
Dud.
But he didn't.
He didn't.
And it changed. Yes, on it. A dime.
Yeah.
That's beauty.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it next, okay?
You like that!
Buckley with sports.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
All right, let's crank up the tea.
The room was
time to talk some NFL.
I hugged her.
Good trucks, balls, yeah! It's this super straight and manly football segment that we're about to do.
That's
let's
right.
go.
That's right. Jason Kelce was on the broadcast.
Can we?
Because he's everywhere now.
Well, and I understand.
There was a lot of Jason Kelce
wow.
last night.
Did we have a Philadelphia broadcast last night? If I wasn't an Eagles fan, which I'm not, no one else thought that was a bit much. It was basically a home game for the Eagles.
That's exactly what Dirt said in that promo we just played.
Oh, I didn't.
The Dirt and Sprague show.
Yeah, it was a little.
He was not happy.
It was a bit much.
Like, well, he's a bit much. Can we stop with him?
Yeah,
I'm so tired of him.
Yeah, people love
him. He's everywhere. I turned on the Today Show this morning, and yes, that's my mistake, but I turned on the Today Show. You know what the headline was?
What?
Jason Kelce dancing.
Oh, yeah, he was in his...
He was dancing somewhere.
He was in his tracksuit or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm like, why is this a headline?
I just thought it was a really weird...
God.
For a nationally televised game to be... about one team, I thought it was it looked poor. I thought it was a poor broadcast.
Well, I thought that game was fun because the league, you know, the NFL, as bad as the play can be and hard to watch sometimes, and it is.
Yeah.
Those games are just so hard to win, man.
Yeah.
They are hard to close out.
Well, and a lot of times it's someone loses a game. And look, that's equal parts because Philly lost it at the end, and then Atlanta Atlanta was
but
forced to win.
That's what I'm saying. It's like that. Yeah. Philly had that game until they didn't.
Yeah.
And so every decision and every play call and every second and every timeout, everything matters in NFL games. And it's really amazing how you get down to the end and you're like, well, Philly's got this. Oh, no, they don't.
99% win probability down there.
It's just
going into that final drive at the 10-yard line.
It's insane.
Yep.
And they, and maybe, you know, Nick Sirianni, maybe run the ball.
Well, I mean, and look,
I mean,
I don't understand third and three. I don't understand throwing it. But at the same time, and Kellen Moore, have you seen? I mean, obviously, Philly fans ready to run Kellen Moore out of town already.
Oh, it's Kellen Moore's fault?
Yeah, it's Kellen Moore's fault. Well, okay. He's the one that obviously has the play call. I mean,
see, I think Sirianni could get fired before the season's over.
It's possible. But I would say in the first 2 weeks, I think Philly's offense looks pretty good. You know, they had a hard time finishing drives. But
well, shouldn't it, though? I mean, they're pretty loaded.
They're pretty loaded. Yeah, right? And but, like, so I understand the criticism on third and three with a minute 46 left. You run the ball there, and worst case scenario is you kick the field goal and you give it to them with no timeouts and a minute to go, and they got to go, you know, 80 yards. But, and Barkley said as much, Saquon Barkley said as much, if he just catches the ball, like Kellen Moore goes big balls McGee, which we all love when someone goes big balls McGee. It's like our favorite thing in the world when someone defies the odds and is like, dude, I'm going to put this in, you know, I'm going to risk everything. Dude, you throw that pass 100 times. He catches 99 of them, but it just, you know, he goes all stone hands on you, drops the ball, and now everything goes to hell. I mean, that you couldn't have a simpler pitch and catch. And Saquon Barkley just botches that thing, because if he catches it, he probably walks into the end zone. Worst case scenario is he catches it and falls down for a first down, and then you take three knees and thanks for coming.
Well, that's best case scenario. I don't think you want him to score. I think he would have probably slid down because the game's over.
If he scores, it's a two-possession game, and it's
right, but if you slide down, the game is over. You literally kneel on the ball. But why not just pitch it out there? Like, I get the idea that they're stacking the box. They know you're going to run. Pitch it.
Well, but again, a pitch is still a run, and they used the play action and slipped him out, and he was wide, and I mean, I know. Wide open.
Of course, but when you throw the ball, something like that has a slim chance of happening.
Sure.
And it happened, and it changed everything. If you at least pitch it out there, you still get the same idea of the play, and it is a run, which means if you somehow botch it or he doesn't get it, the clock continues to run.
Well, what I was, and look, I'm not Nick Sirianni. I'm not Kellen Moore. I'm not an NFL coach. But I was sitting there on my couch and just thinking to myself, dude, it's fourth and three. You're the best short yardage team, arguably, of all time. And I know Kelsey's gone. You have a quarterback that squats 600 pounds with 30-inch thighs.
Oh, Jason Kelce was there, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I don't know if you know this.
Hey, I think I did see him there.
He's not gone.
Hey, does he love Philadelphia, too? And is he, like, drinking
like
beer
it.
And taking his shirt off?
And by the way, the other thing about that, him on the broadcast, he was terrible on there.
Yeah.
Because they kept doing the tush push, and he was in there, and he didn't really talk about it.
No.
I was expecting them to say, hey, Jason, what is this play like? Like, what makes this play work? No. He's like, I don't miss this play. That's it. All right, cool.
It's fourth and three.
Nice insight.
Just run the tush push twice. And then, because here's where I will push back on the conventional logic of even if you run the ball and you don't get it. I absolutely loathe in today's NFL the cowardly field goal, right? So if you're up by three, a touchdown beats you, right? You're up by six, a touchdown beats you. I don't understand that. Yes, you make it easier for them if you don't get it to go down, kick a field goal, and you're going to be forced to go into overtime. But I will never understand the idea of just not taking 3 yards, 3 yards in two plays with the best short yardage team of all time, and the game is over. It is absolutely over in that situation, as opposed to kicking a field goal and a touchdown beats me either way. Just go for it. Because worst case scenario there, again, you give them the ball down by three with 45 seconds left and no timeouts. I have a bigger problem with kicking the field goal than I do the throwing the ball on third down. A touchdown beats you either way. I don't understand that.
Well,
and then we can also talk about the fact that to take an offense which had struggled to move the ball most of the game, to run the sort of defense that they ran at the end of that, and allow them to throw multiple deep balls down the sideline against a cover two, the corner they were picking on was a rookie. Someone should be fired for that. I mean,
who's their DC?
That's Vic Fangio. Now, Vic Fangio is a guy that doesn't necessarily like to bring pressure, and he did bring pressure earlier in the game, and that was the one where they beat him for the big touchdown. So you knew going into that last drive, people were like, oh, why aren't they bringing heat? Yeah, Fangio ain't bringing heat. Not when that's not his MO, and when he did, he got burned on it. But that's fine. You don't want to bring pressure. You want to rush four. More power to you. But they have no timeouts. The only thing you can't do is allow them to throw it deep down the sidelines. You're playing a too high cover shell look, and you got your damn corner squatting on the underneath route. What are you doing letting them throw the ball 20-plus yards downfield?
I think that this is another thing I love about the NFL, is these games always seem to be very dramatic. Many of them very dramatic at the end, no matter how quality the play.
Yeah.
And that was another one. Atlanta almost scored too fast.
Yes.
But the other thing I love about the NFL is that I think it's more so than other leagues we watch, I think that it makes all facets of your organization be good. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, in the Eagles, I think you see a hell of a GM. You see a hell of a good owner. You see a hell of a roster. You have a good quarterback. But I think they have a hole at coach.
I do. I agree. I think Sirianni is a bit exposed.
And that's why I love the NFL, is that one facet of all of those facets is off. And it holds you back big time. Yeah. They're 3-7 in their last 10. And it's amazing what a Super Bowl appearance can buy you. Because I think if that's last night's game, if that's Mike McCarthy, if that's even Dan Campbell takes some heat for things like this, if that's Dable, dude, we are absolutely killing them today. Yeah. But now all of a sudden it's Kellen Moore's fault? Come on, man. Nick Sirianni sucks. Yeah. And I would not be surprised if Nick Sirianni doesn't get fired before the end of the season, because we saw some real chinks in that armor last year. Yeah. And while they're pretty good, they should be good. They have a good roster. Everything's in place. They continue to shoot themselves in the foot.
And eke out wins or let this one. There's just no way.
That's him.
There is no excuse for losing this football
game. None at all. No. And you know what their next two are? They are at New Orleans, and they are at Tampa.
It's tough.
They could be 1-3, man.
Yeah. And look out, because we already know there's a fractured relationship between coach and players.
That's what I'm saying.
They quit on him last year. It's just, there are certain losses, even in close games, that are inexcusable. And losing that game last night is inexcusable. And someone ultimately has to pay the price for those. And you're now, 2-7 in your last nine? At some point, all the coordinator changes, all the turnover, at some point someone's got to be held accountable for it. And Sirianni better hope that his team gets this thing together and goes on a little run here, because Philadelphia has the talent to be a Super Bowl level team. And yet they're starting to just become one of those teams you're like, hey, you're going to find a way to screw it up. You lost to a one-legged Kirk Cousins because you couldn't stop an 80-yard drive with no timeouts.
My guy, Kirkers.
Kirkers, man.
Did you see that stat they showed? Quarterbacks with the most go-ahead pass touchdowns in the final minute or overtime since 2015?
Kirk Cousins.
You like that? You like that?
Well, it's not quite Kirk Cousins.
No.
It's Derek Carr.
Derek Carr
has the most at 8. Cousins has 6. Tom Brady and Matt Stafford with 5.
So what we can determine here, Kirk Cousins greater than everyone not named.
I think it's pretty obvious.
Derek Carr.
It's right there in the stat.
How you let them throw those balls down the sidelines is still stunning to me. We're all going to focus on the third and one. And I'm telling you, go back and watch their coverage on those deep balls that they use to get down the field so fast. Those are worse, inexcusable mistakes as far as execution goes than the simple third and one bootleg out, the drop pass by Saquon Barkley.
I also can't be convinced that Gardner Johnson didn't take off his helmet.
I think he did.
I think he did too.
Yeah.
And then tried to act like it was an accident when he got too
but
caught up.
But it was coming off.
Yes.
It was falling off.
But he didn't try to put it back on.
Exactly.
It didn't just come off on its own.
He took it off.
And then was anyone else also perplexed by the Drake London thing?
Yeah, do you think that was warranted?
I had to look that up.
What was he doing?
You can't mimic guns.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was doing, and that's why I thought they threw the flag. But then they were saying today that I saw somebody saying that that's not what he was doing. He was doing fireworks or something.
Well, I don't know. I thought to myself, oh my God, if they miss this because of that.
Well, thank God for Koo.
Well, and here's the other one that I still haven't gotten an answer for. Can you take that penalty now on the kick still? Because with the new dynamic rules, because I was thinking to myself too, I'm like, dude, the kicker's now from 45, it's still automatic, unless your name's Justin Tucker. Like, you don't miss. So I'm like, dude, he's going to make this. I was like, can I take the 15 yards on the kick? Like, if they kick that thing and get it to 30, can I just bump that thing out to the 45 and call it good? Because I'll take that at the 45, right? I mean, then I'm right there.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I didn't know.
They didn't say.
I know. I don't know how the new kickoff rules affect that. So I just thought, oh my God, if they lose or this thing, you know, on that.
Man.
Because that was a weird flag. I was like, dude, people celebrate way worse than that. And then I was like, does that have something to do with the gun? Yeah, flag! So if I finger gun something, that's a flag?
Well, I don't know, but when
it was
I saw...
like when they started flagging the throat slit like many, yeah, many years ago. You can't do it.
When I saw him do that, I was like, ooh. And then the ref was right there and threw it. I'm like, I kind of get it. In this day and age, man,
weird.
You got to be careful with that. Yeah. But
hey Drake, good one, buddy. You almost lost the game.
Nah, they got a great kicker. That guy's awesome. That Koo guy. I tell you what, you want one kick? Yeah. Well, you got to make one kick. You probably want Bucker, right? Yeah. Bucker says he's good from mid-60s.
He's pretty good.
Like, I mean, he's the best kicker, right?
I would think so.
And yeah, Tucker's finally starting to show that he's not.
Yeah, I mean, he was
still one of the best.
But. Yeah, for years he was awesome. The best, probably the best ever, Justin Tucker.
Yes.
But not right now.
Yeah.
So if you had one kick and you had to make it, Koo's up there. That
Absolutely.
Guy's awesome.
Yes. He is money. The only Korean, by the way, in the NFL. I believe he's the only Asian in the NFL.
Guy's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's hot Monday Night Football talk. What a game.
No, what an ending.
What a great game. Great football. Football's football. The only way to get better at it is more football.
Football's football. And the only way to get better at it is to play football.
You got to do football.
The best part of football is football. And so you got to do football.
Well, we're not doing football tonight.
But they did it last night.
But Thursday night we will. Let's move on to our College Football Tuesday Roundhouse next on The Fan. All right, time to switch gears to college football, where Tennessee is being dragged a little bit today. You know, the University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
With Josh Heupel and the pumpkin orange checkered end zone.
Some people think Tennessee might be the best team in the country.
Some people think that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
People are high on Tennessee.
Actually, I don't know if I think that or not. I've never seen them play.
They look the part. They're rolling people right now.
How about that?
They haven't played a whole lot, but...
Yeah. I think it's funny how we talk about teams sometimes. You know, it's like... Couple of big boys come out and win 70-0, and we think they're the best, even though they didn't play anybody.
No, it's just the difference is, like, you know, when you play, I mean, you can only play who you play, and at the beginning of the year, I mean, most of the time it's pretty soft. So far they've played Chattanooga. They did play North Carolina State, who was ranked.
What was that score?
51-10.
Ooh. Okay.
And then they beat Kent State 71-0. So 69-3, 51-10, 71-0. As opposed to like Oregon, for example, who was ranked higher than Tennessee. You know, Oregon played Idaho and Boise State and struggled. Meanwhile, you know, Tennessee's out here beating people by 60.
I get it. But doesn't necessarily mean they're better than Oregon.
No. They got Oklahoma coming up, though.
Yeah, they do.
Well, that's this week.
Well, they'll probably pound Oklahoma.
In Norman.
Oklahoma's got some issues, it sounds like.
They've had a close one, yes, but they're 15th in the country, and we'll see what happens. It's in Norman, so.
We will see what happens, Jason. We're going to watch that, damn it.
I certainly will.
We're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, in Knoxville, they're getting dragged a little bit because they came out today and said that they will charge a 10% talent fee on tickets.
Yep.
Next year to help pay paying players.
Yeah, so the tickets are going up almost 5%. It's like 4 and some change, and then you just tacking on a nice little 10% surcharge on that, on all the tickets. And some of those tickets are quite expensive.
Yeah, so the average increase is 4.5%.
Yes.
But it's 10% on season tickets and single game purchases, as well as donations for those seats.
Yeah. So basically, it's like a personal seat license, and they're just going to screw you over and keep charging you money so they can pass it on to the athletes.
Well, to me, I guess, and I don't know what other people have said about this, but this is a giant duh.
It's coming,
I mean,
by the way.
What did we think was going to happen once teams started paying players? Like, did we think that fans would not incur some of the cost? Like, yeah. Seriously, like, what did we think was going
to
happen?
And I know Tennessee's getting drug on this, but I promise you, this is coming to most programs. So, and they may slice this a different way, right? It may be called something different, but this is coming to Oregon. It's coming to Ohio State. It's coming to Bama.
Well, yeah, so. And I honestly don't think that it's necessarily something that should be criticized. It's just It's just the way it's going to work.
Oh, I criticize it because if I'm a fan, although if I was a fan, I would have been out a long time ago. Like, I'm this whole thing is just stupid. Personal seat licenses are stupid. The donations that you have to make in order to buy season tickets, all of this stuff is ridiculous. And for most fans, it's priced them out anyways. I went about a long time ago, but there's diehards. Tennessee has 100,000, you know, 110. I think it might be the largest stadium in NCAA. And people will pay it, and people are going to keep coming to those games. And it's just, it's not for me. Enough's enough.
Well, but I mean, it's, I don't know. If you think going and watching your team is still affordable,
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
If you don't, don't.
Yep.
They don't care.
No.
They're going to fill the stadium either way.
I just, I'm tired of athletic departments claiming poverty and needing to do this. Meanwhile, you know.
Hey, whoa.
What?
They only made $75 million last year.
Only. Meanwhile, you're buying out the Billy Napiers of the world, right? I remember when, and I'll take the local schools here. Remember during COVID and they were like, hey, we'd like you to just let us keep your money even though we're not going to pay games or play games. Dude, kiss my rosy red ass.
Well, you know what another one is it's funny, like the way we talk about, oh, Oregon State and Washington, They're paying $110 million or something for these Mountain West schools?
Yeah. Yeah. Because they had the war chest of money. So I just, it drives me crazy.
There's money everywhere in this sport.
Exactly. And we're building these ridiculous facilities. And, you know, enough's enough for me when you cry poverty. And now that you're actually going to have to share it with the players. I'm sorry. You had free labor for 100 years. Now all of a sudden, you know, you're having to pay players. Now we're like, well, we're going to have to figure this out. Oh, we've paid everyone else, but now we got to pay players. So now we're going to need you guys to dig deep. I mean, and then to a larger issue, and I don't know how all this, you know, gets sorted out because again, house settlement is still going through and the judge told him to go pound sand. If you haven't followed that, that thing is still working its way through. There has been no settlement. So we don't even have revenue sharing yet. That details have to be worked out. But one of the largest problems in this whole thing is football has more money than it needs and has more money than it knows what to do with. The problem is that football pays for gymnastics and baseball and wrestling and all this and that. So herein lies the problem is you have one group of athletes that are funding every other athletic endeavor. And for forever, we've told those kids, shut up and take your scholarship. When those kids are like, well, that's illegal. I want what's mine. Something eventually is going to have to give. You know, while there is a lot of money, I do think eventually it's going to run out if you're trying to pay all the other athletes and all the other sports the way you pay and play football.
Except that I think that the TV revenue numbers in football right now are baby numbers compared to what they're going to be in the future. I mean, they're just getting started, dude. They are just scratching the surface of the amount of money that they can make on this sport.
Yeah.
And they know it. And so that's why this money being thrown around, you're right. I mean, it really is disingenuous when you're crying poor. Like, I get why, because you're used to doing that, because it's not a business model. It's more of a higher education model, right? Yeah. But they keep leaning on that. You can't lean on that anymore.
No, it's
not. We see the numbers, okay? So these TV revenue numbers are going to go through the roof. Like, it's insane. We're already laughing at the ACC for having a $35 million a year per school.
Yeah, laugh at them.
TV revenue deal. We're like, oh my God, you dummies, that's so low. I mean, 5 years ago, we wouldn't have said that so low. 5 years ago when they signed it, we're like, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
And now it's a joke. So these numbers, like, you look at the numbers in the NFL, and I think, I don't think college football is going to get to the NFL in terms of popularity or revenue or anything, but the room for growth in revenue is astronomical in college football, and these schools know it.
Well, and then conferences are going to start selling naming rights and private equity and all that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there are so many revenue streams that they haven't tapped into because they're so slow because they're educators, they're not businessmen.
I'm just tired of the universities turning to the Johnny, you know, I guess it's not Johnny Sixpack. So a lot of these donors have a lot of money. It's just at some point, you know, even if I was a wealthy donor at some point, enough's enough. Quit trying to get me to come into my pockets. And when you have more than enough.
But
you
if
just
you
choose
wanna
to spend it
well,
this
yeah,
poorly.
But they've always had more than enough. And you've reached in your pocket before. And the question is, your team, how much are you willing to pay for it?
Yeah.
And they will price people out. They already have. And they will continue to do so. It's basically just supply and demand.
Yeah.
And I know people don't like that, but it is what it is. 10%, by the way, I thought was low. I'm not kidding. Like, I was like, wow,
that's pretty
only
fair.
10%. That's fair. Because it's going to be worse in other places.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't. And today, someone pointed out, Georgia passed an executive order today allowing the school to pay NIL compensation directly through the school. So you throw that thing in there.
Virginia has that too.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, how does that end up with this house settlement? I mean, if you don't know, the house settlement that was supposed to, you know, go into effect here, the reason why it died on the vine was the judge that looked at it said, wait, you have all these different caps on what NIL and who can pay what. She's like, no. She goes, this is a fair, you're being sued for manipulating a fair market system, and yet you're trying to manipulate the system in the settlement. And she was like, no, go back and deal with this. We're not dealing with it. So the NCAA is still trying to have their cake and eat it too, because the model that they've had has been so one-sided, they still can't understand that those days are long gone.
It's going to take time,
yeah,
but they'll get there. And in the meantime, you will pay more to watch your team. But at least the players will get paid.
Yeah, something. Although some fans are probably still mad about that. Take your scholarship and like it.
Well, okay.
Stop paying.
If you feel that way,
yeah,
stop going.
There you go.
Stop paying your money.
Yep.
You little bitch. God, all we have is grievances.
We do have a lot of grievances.
Get creative. Steal that guy's money. Coming up next, do Beaver fans suddenly now not want to play the Civil War? Our College Football Tuesday Roundhouse continues on The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.